Hey everybody, Michael and Abadesi are on a mini break this week, so we're going to give you a sneak peek into our Patreon exclusive from a few months ago. The stories are a bit older, but if you want an extra-ish early, make sure you sub to our Patreon.
So let's do a quick follow-up on unionization.
Union.
This is a hot topic. You know what? More and more people are going to be thinking about, should I form a union? Especially if people get forced to come back to the office. Let's face it. Yeah. There are a lot of people right now who are like, I've seen the light. I've seen the light of flexible working, remote working. Maybe they've relocated. Anybody going to try and force them back into the office? Yeah. But no, of course, there's also so many other opportunities for collective action to play a role, whether that's closing the gender pay gap, closing the ethnicity pay gap, fighting for better rights for other underrepresented groups in the workplace, whether that's people with disabilities, parents, whatever. Like, I get it. And, you know, we just wanted to return to the story about the failed attempt for Amazon workers to unionize, because, you know, this is something that, quite frankly, kind of boggled us a little bit. I mean, Mike, I know you had your thoughts on why this was the case, but a really interesting piece has come out in New York Times just a few days ago, actually talking about the fact that for some workers in the warehouse, minimum wage is more than they made in previous jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to have some American listeners explain to me how someone can legally pay less than the minimum wage, because here in the UK, that is illegal. Right? Like, employers cannot legally, and that maybe if it's like under the counter or something a minimum wage was here,
if you're like a delivery, what's the, you know, like on a ride sharing app, or if you're like a delivery, yeah. Those people were earning less than minimum wage because they were freelancers, right? They weren't employees. I'm doing air quotes. So they were, when you calculate it, often they're earning less than minimum wage. So if you're not technically an employee, you can be paid, pittance.
You can?
Yeah. Damn, and then also in America, there's a federal minimum wage and then there's a state minimum wage. So there's not a federal minimum wage right now, or $15. It's not law, basically. So in a state like Alabama, I'm going to get my geography wrong, but if there's, Alabama's a state, right? Yeah. In a state like Alabama, let's say the state minimum wage might be like $10 an hour, right? Then Amazon comes in and says, we're going to pay $15 an hour because that's meant to be quote unquote the living wage. So that's why Amazon's $15 is more than probably what they were getting at previous companies, if you get what I'm saying. So the federal minimum wage is not 15 yet. People are fighting for it to be 15, but it's not 15 yet.
Jeez. Okay. So the thing that I just get super frustrated about. Okay, so just to finally, you know, recap the article, there's a gentleman, you know, Mr. Brooks, a young man, happy to be paid $15 an hour because he was a writer for a newspaper before and he was getting paid less than that. Another employee, Miss Carla Johnson, actually had been diagnosed with cancer. And for her, the appeal of working at Amazon was that you get health insurance from day one, because as we all know, you ain't got no healthcare benefits in the US unless you're employed and your employer gives it to you. So here's the thing. I get it. Okay. I totally have compassion for those perspectives and those reasons for staying with the company. But I don't want us to look at this and kind of go like, oh, wow, that's great. Yeah, maybe every cloud has a silver lining. We need to have a conversation about the fact that there are still so many people in what's supposed to be one of the most economically empowered free countries in the world who are living below minimum wage and don't have access to basic healthcare. Like, that is what to me is so frightening and so scary. And I mean, I get it. It's like a different country. It's a different culture. I've been in the UK a while now. So I'm used to a welfare state and I see the benefit of that welfare state. But I just kind of came away from this article feeling a bit, one, cynical, but a bit like the Bezos PR machine at it again, mm-hmm. not going to lie. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, sad, like honestly sad for humanity. Just last week, we were talking about, you know, Kim Kardashian joining the Billionaires Club. And it just made me sad that there are people that are like, oh my God, I can get minimum wage. Praise the Lord. Like in America? Mm. In America? Wow. So anyway, I just thought I'd throw that onto you. What do you think? What do you think, Mike? Is this a good news story?
No, of course not. Yeah, it's not a good news story. I think it makes me think that the change won't come from this sort of kind of bottom-up change. It will come top-down via legislation, whether that's, you know, healthcare mandated and the like. And I, like I said, I don't blame any of the people for voting no. Maybe, I don't know what I would have voted.
Totally.
If I live in an area where there's not a lot of jobs and there's not a lot of opportunity, am I going to risk my job? You know, they say legally you can't be fired for joining a union, but you know what I'm saying? Like, is that really going to be like honored?
I mean, legally you can't be fired for being black.
Yeah, exactly.
But hands up if that's happened to you.
You can't get shot for being black as well. So yeah, we all know what the law is. You know what I'm saying? So I think I don't blame nobody for voting no. Maybe I would have voted no, because if this is my life where I'm like, yo, there's not a lot of alternatives. And actually $15 in terms of like the cost of living in some of these rural states, it's actually quite good.
Yeah.
$15 in San Francisco and New York is the bare minimum. minimum. You can't survive without that, right? Or London, for example. But $15 somewhere where it's like not as populated, not as kind of busy, like that's a decent living. Mm. And people ain't trying to risk that. They're not.
And true. And healthcare from day one, I mean, that's appealing. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just like a vote for like, oh, do we want a union? It's like, do you want to risk losing your healthcare?
Yeah, absolutely. And then also there's a lot.
It's sad that people have to make decisions like that. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's why I always was so flummoxed by the healthcare debate in the States, in the sense that it would make people more likely to want to take more risks and become more entrepreneurial. Like if you care about being this bastion of entrepreneurship, you'd want people to have the ability to take risks. Like me personally, I'm not leaving my job in the UK, for example, to start a business if I lose my healthcare. Why would I do that? Like that's insane. Like maybe if I'm younger, but if I'm like in my 30s and 40s and 50s and I've got kids I'm looking after, that don't make no sense. So yeah, anyways, depressing story. We'll put the article in the show notes. It's a good piece by the New York Times. Yeah, so Diddy, this is a while ago actually, caught a bit of flack. He did an open letter criticizing General Motors for not spending enough of black media. I think other media owners signed the letter, but obviously Diddy owns Revolt, which is a large black media platform. And he said, listen, General Motors, like you know, black Americans give you billions of dollars every year, but you're only spending a minuscule amount with black media. Do you know what I mean? Like you're not matching that those funds with our consumption, right? Now, some people are like...
Hashtag die black.
Yeah, but some people don't like the fact that it's Diddy. And this is again, like maybe the right message, wrong messenger, because essentially people consider Diddy to be the kind of person who's like pro-black, but it's always in his own service, basically. And that historically he has shagged a lot of musicians on the Bad Boy, like taking their masters, not giving it back. I don't know the details. And I personally think it's probably hyped up. And it's difficult to be a black entrepreneur, and there's a lot more scrutiny that you come under, I personally feel, and you don't have that same energy for other white entrepreneurs. But leaving that aside, you know, what do you think of the letter? Like, is that a conversation that we need to be having now? And it's like, you know, we should directly pressurizing companies and said, yo, how much money have you spent on black businesses? Like, how much money are you putting back into the community?
I would love that. I, especially in the US, you know, I keep coming back to this like 3.8% figure that we talked about in the previous show, that black Americans own 3.8% of the wealth in America. Like I can't even sit on that thought too long without genuinely tearing up, because I just know the legacy and the history and the sacrifice that's been made by the black community. So it does just break my heart to know that this injustice continues to exist. And I think any initiative that accelerates the movement of capital to black Americans should be explored. So this idea of, companies showing the receipts and being like, hey, every year we spend X percent on advertising services, let's say, like, you know, X percent of our revenue, however many tens or hundreds of millions, we now commit to spend at least, 10%, 25% on black owned companies. Oh, that would be amazing. I would love to see that. I would literally quit my job, go work for the company that says that's amazing.
They tried to have like a meeting with the CEO of GM, Byron Allen, Ice Cube Diddy, and like she was ducking them for weeks. And that's when they decided to do the open letter. Yeah, she was like, no, busy.
Don't be ducking no meetings from high profile black people.
Yeah, listen, don't be doing that into people with platforms. That's the reality.
That's for so better, stupid.
For better or for worse, I don't think it's necessarily a great thing, because sometimes I think people abuse that. But for better or for worse, if you're ducking somebody with a platform, just know within 5 minutes they can put you on blast to about 10 million people. So be careful.
Whoever is in like PR crisis management in that company must be like, God damn it, why didn't you tell me? You let P. Diddy wait for a response.
You left P. Diddy on red? Are you crazy? You fucked up.
Every step you take.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, so just one last story then. I think I want to give a shout out to Vanessa Bryant. So that's Kobe Bryant's widow. She basically has exited a deal that Kobe Bryant had with Nike, or the Kobe Bryant estate now has with Nike, primarily for two reasons. One, she said, listen, financially, it's not what the other kind of equivalent, you know, basketball players are getting. But two, she didn't F with the fact that Nike was purposely doing this whole limited release thing. Now, if you're not a sneakerhead, and I'm not one, but I know a bit about it just as a kind of business nerd, like they, you know, they do limited supplies of trainers, and then young black kids are fucking going crazy trying to get like shit they probably can't afford. And it's all based on hype. Like, you know full well that you could release, you know, this could be in stock completely everywhere, anywhere, but you artificially make it scarce. And now kids are getting, you know, into beef over Jordans, whatever. Obviously, I'm exaggerating slightly, but this does happen. Does happen. Like, people are, and at the very least, people feel shitty about the fact they can't afford it and they can't get it. Do you know what I'm saying? Totally. So she's like, listen, I don't like this. This is not what I stand for. This is not what my husband stood for. We're going to go off and look for new partners that have a different model. And kudos to her. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think like enough people need to step back and be like, not every dollar is a good dollar. Like, you don't have to take it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, You know what I mean? And yeah, and I think Jordan has got a lot
of power of walking away.
Yeah, just like, you know, if you don't agree with something, walk away. Especially if you've already got some money already. I'll never get people that have money but are still doing things against their kind of ethos. Like, you don't need it no more. You've got 10 million. You've got 20 million. Do you need 100 million? It's interesting, on a separate topic about related, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about how, you know, like Affirm. So Affirm is like Klarna. It's like credit. How do you describe Affirm, basically? It's like Klarna.
It's layaway.
Yeah, it's like layaway. Kind of, yeah,
you don't, like, basically, like, yeah, they give you buy now, pay later.
Buy now, pay later, but for like really cheap e-commerce stuff. So like, you want to buy something on Fashion Nova, it's $28. You can buy it in like 4 installments, and a lot of people are getting into debt over this stuff, right? And the reason why it's related is because the founder of that company was one of the co-founders of PayPal. He was already hood rich. He was already not even hood rich. This guy was rich by any definition.
Oh.
Yeah, like he's a billionaire, and I'm like,
damn,
why? Like, this company is probably a net negative. I mean, like, if you've got the ethos of don't hate the player, hate the game, anything goes in capitalism, then fair enough. But what was the point? Like, I just don't get it. Like, I mean, Abba, if you've already got $1 billion or $100 million, why start a company like this? I just,
because you can't say no.
Yeah,
that's the thing. No one ever wants to say no. We're coming right back to that conversation about people that taking job interviews, taking side hustles, monetizing every second they're awake. When you reach that certain level, everyone's going to want to come in and like invest in you, be a co-founder with you, do stuff with you. It's hard to say no. People want to stay busy. You got kids. Your kids got kids. Or I don't know. You got hobbies. Your hobbies got hobbies. I don't know, like, let's face it, like, capitalism is like literally just like infinite wants. Yeah. Adam Smith said it best, you know, infinite wants. That's it. That's the human condition.
You become addicted to winning. Because from what I understand, he left PayPal and started like a, what's the word? Like a lab where you do multiple companies. What's the word they have it? What's that word where you have like...
Incubator.
Yeah, he started an incubator. Basically, it was his own ideas and he was going to like spin off loads of different products basically that he funds. And I think Affirm was the only one that was working. All the rest of them were not doing nothing. There was no traction. So he just followed the traction and now Affirm is this giant $1 billion company, right? And I think it's an addiction to winning. When you're a successful entrepreneur, the last thing you want is a flop. So you're just like, if this is what the market wants... I'm going to give the market what it wants. Even though I just find it like so I just find it so unethical. Like, I get credit is a good thing. I don't want to say poor people can't have credit, but when you're just encouraging people to buy shit they don't need, that's crap, like Fashion Nova stuff, and putting them in debt at the same time. Nah, man, that's not me.
Someone's going to be upset hearing that.
Yeah, maybe. You know what I'm saying? I didn't come here to please. I'm just coming to give my perspective. I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Damn. Can I just say, by the way, like, okay, I'm just taking it on another tangent because I sent this tweet last week. You just said Fashion Nova stuff was crap. And I know people that listen to the show that probably shop there. and what I want to just call out is why everyone should be a bootstrapping founder. Like, every single person should be a bootstrapping founder, because I tweeted about this last week. I was just like, I want to sell some of my Bitcoin. Because, you know, same like you, I put like a tiny amount in 2017. 2018, took out what I put in, left the difference. That difference is like, I don't know, close to £1,000 or something, which is just crazy. Because it's just free money for me.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to take some of this out, buy something. Yeah. I just like spent £500 on like, I don't know, something, but I can't do it. I can't pull the trigger. Why? Because that to me is literally like money I can put into my company. Like, how much paid promotion can I put behind some ad campaigns with that? How many hours worth of freelancer time can I pay for with that? Like, once you're a bootstrapping founder, you become so frugal. Every price tag is turned into runway. Luxury means nothing. Because I got some H&M stuff that I've been rocking for 10 years. Like, I know now. I know that I don't need to pay more to make things last. And it's just so funny hearing you say that, because I was just like, look at us. Like, we're done now.
Yeah, but
like, we can't look back.
I wasn't picking on Fashion Nova, by the way. Like, it's anything that's like... fast fashion or anything that is like just consumables that you're gonna have. I bought stuff from ASOS and fast fashion platforms, but they don't last. After 1 or 2 years, they're in the bin basically, or they can't. Do you know what I'm saying? And it's like, how much of that really added value to my life? That's the point I'm making. I'm not picking on Fashion Nova. Yeah, you're right. Listen, don't get twisted. I mean, we say like what you're describing isn't a bootstrap founder. What you're describing is a capitalist. That's what you are now. Because like, and that's like, well, that's
a capitalist.
Yeah, you are a capitalist. That's a quintessential capitalist thinks.
I thought capitalists were materialistic.
No, capitalist basically is somebody who constantly wants to reinvest their capital to grow their capital. That's what a capitalist is basically.
Like a monopoly man.
Yeah, because what...
I always wanted to be that.
What distinguishes rich people from the olden times and rich people today is that rich people during like Henry VIII, they wanted to sit around and just like have feasts and just like do sword fighting. Basically, they were leisurely people. But in this day and age, rich people and capitalists, all they want to do is just invest. Do you know what I'm saying? More times than not, anyway. Mm. Maybe their kids will splash the money and ruin it, rich kids. But, you know, what you're describing is an addiction to investment. You know what I'm saying? So I think when you have your therapist, ask them about that one. Because sometimes it's good to enjoy sometimes. You know, enjoy the money, man.
I'm not investing in experiences. I'm investing in assets that create passive income.
Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Man, do you know what's so sad about Rich Dad, Poor Dad is that everyone loves that book. Especially, like, I know so many black men that love Rich Dad, Poor Dad, but the author is so racist. Like, during the Black Lives Matter thing, he was just like, shoot these fuckers, shoot them. Like, during the, he was like, he was on some real, like, we need some law and order, get rid of these people now, basically. And Rich Dad, Poor Dad is there's a lot of conflicting opinions about it. It's definitely a very low level book in terms of the insights it's going to give you, but it's a good mindset book. If you don't know nothing about investment, if you don't know nothing about outside of just like spending money, I don't think it's the worst book in the world to read. But I just find it a shame that like it's another example of like black people supporting something and pushing something up to the top and the person dislikes black people.
We need to vet these things.
Yeah. Well, we need to write a new version of that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Someone needs to put that on his Wikipedia page. People put that on his Wikipedia page because that needs to be there.
Oh, man. We need to do like a Nigerian version of it. What's that? Rich Uncle, Poor Uncle. Give me something, man. We need a version of Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Rich Oga, Poor Oga.
Yeah, there we go.
That's what it will be.
All right, cool. All right, we'll leave it at that. Yeah.